Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we're continuing to talk about cultivating our love for God, our love for Jesus. And it's okay to talk about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and loving the Trinity. All of these verses in the Bible command us to love God and don't sometimes make those distinctions. But we know from Jesus that the greatest commandment of all is to love God with everything you've got. And so we want to do that and take that seriously. And so we've been considering ways to cultivate our love for God. But before we get into it today, I just want to ask if there's one person you could think of that you could pass this episode on to when we're done. That would be such a great blessing, hopefully to that person, but obviously it's also a help to get the word out about Integrated and these important conversations that we're having. Loving the Lord is vital. And it's such a priority, and we've been learning that it's not sentimental feelings that we're trying to cultivate, but it is an internal motivation, drive. It merges with other things that we see. It's the opposite of empty religion that's just external and hollow. It's warm. And it's motivated from the inside, and it's something that is vitally important for us. We don't just want to be creating scaffolding around a dying building. We want there to be a lively building, if you will. We want there to be life, spirit to go with the truth, and not just external acts of religion. So one of the ways that we want to cultivate our love for the Lord is to pray. And there's right away, you could be remembering the Pharisees. Didn't they pray their little hypocritical prayers? And Jesus directly addressed those. How is that going to help? And we'll just admit right away, it's not a guarantee. Just because you say prayers doesn't guarantee that you are stoking the flames of love for Jesus. But if you want to stoke the flames of love for Jesus, you're going to pray. So in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, right before Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, he absolutely talks about the hypocritical prayers of the Pharisees and the scribes. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So Jesus has some very pointed words about our prayers. They must not be hypocritical. They must not be empty. They must not be for the motivation of showing off before others. Also, they must not be just adding filler if you will, with empty repeated words and phrases. Sometimes that's, I get a little tempted to be concerned for written prayers, right? There's beautiful written prayers. The book that's the Puritan Prayers, Valley of the Vision. It's fantastic. It's great. There are other prayer books that are out there that people use and some people love. And it's wonderful to just ride on the backs of godly men and women of old who have prayed beautiful prayers that are very meaningful and rich. However, we must never just ride on the emptiness of hollow words. It must be heartfelt. We've got to adopt those words for our own and then ride on those. And of course, we have great example of that in the Psalms, where if we wanted to pray according to the Bible, the Psalms is a great place to do that. Just launch off of what the psalmist is praying about and personalize it and make it your own prayer. That's a great thing to do. We are talking specifically today about the connection between loving God and prayer. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Yeah, there's a direct connection between loving the Lord and crying out to him. You want to be in his presence. He's great. He's your heavenly Father. He's your rock. He's your strength. And of course, so many of the Psalms are written in times of desperation. And so the psalmist, whether it be David or another one of the writers, is just crying out to God out of that desperate heart. But sometimes it's just, I love you. In the old covenant era, God manifested himself in the tabernacle and later in the temple, of course, in the Holy of Holies. And so being where the Ark of the Covenant was, which was the place where God's representative presence was with his people, that's the place David wanted to be. That's the place he wanted to hang out because that's where God is. So in Psalm 26, verse 8, says, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. I want to be there because that's where you are. I want to be in your presence. I love it. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's wonderful. What a great blessing that we have access to God. Sinful you, sinful me, having access to holy God. I just got done preaching through the book of Isaiah at our church in Sharpsburg. And one of the repeated descriptions, self-designations of God in the book of Isaiah is the Holy One of Israel. It kept coming up, and it's so significant because, of course, Isaiah met God in Isaiah chapter 6, and God was, they were the angels, the seraphim were crying out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so, from then on, Isaiah said, yeah, I know who this God we're talking about is, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One. And yet we can come into the presence of the Holy One because we love him and we want to be with him. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. I think that you spend time with people that you love. But I have want to add to that. As you spend time with lovely people, you love them more. So I know that's true with me and my wife, Lynn. We've been doing a kind of a special discipline where we've been hanging out together for some special time together, including a little bit of cuddling as well. And it's very nice. And kind of praying together and being together. And it just warms your heart. It just is, wow, I love this girl. This is great. We've been married for 35 years now, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter as God sanctifies us and helps us and grows us together. But the more we spend time together and just enjoy each other, the more we love each other and we want to spend time. And so isn't it a beautiful thought that we pray to God because we love him, and we love God more because we pray to him? It is a precious reality. And so that's why prayer is sometimes called one of the means of grace. God uses this to grow us. And so therefore we should discipline ourselves to pray in order to cultivate our love for the Lord. Now we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about how prayer stokes our fire of love for God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment, who is teaching on how prayer stokes our love for God. Now here's something I want you to think about. You love the people you spend time with, right? And you spend time with the people that you love. That's how most of our lives work. Well, Dr. Kratz is making that case about prayer. And I think it's really worth evaluating in our lives who we've been spending our time with lately. If your answer is your phone, I've got a way to redeem that. The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It's absolutely free of charge. And everything that you could possibly ever imagine is on the Fortis Plus app. Well, not everything. I'm talking in regards to Fortis Institute. All of the content that we create is available on Fortis Plus, and it's available absolutely free. I'm talking hundreds of hours of content from people like Dr. Kratz and Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Clausen, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel. All of it is available there. And again, as I said, we're adding to it every single day. Download Fortis Plus right now. And the next time you reach for your phone out of habit, reach for something that's going to point you back to God instead. Download it on your smartphone. You can also download it on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that all of the content that we create is made possible is because of our gospel partners. They're the reason the app stays free and all of the content we create is absolutely free of charge. These are men and women just like you who believe in what we do at Fortis Institute, so much so they wanted to make sure that people all over the world would have access to this content, that there were no barriers in the way. And that's exactly what we've been able to do. And if you've ever been impacted by anything you've heard here at Fortis Institute, and you have a margin where you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you. You can get all of the information, which means all of the answers to all of the questions we know you have about what it would look like in your life to be an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get that information right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We have been talking about prayer, specifically prayer as an expression of our love for God and as a means of cultivating more love to God. So if you want to love Jesus more, pray more, spend time with him, and the Holy Spirit will use that time to facilitate a greater appetite and a greater capacity of love for God. And that's so important because it's the greatest commandment of all. I told you before the break about my wife and I, Lynn, and the time we're spending together in a special way, day by day, is stoking fires of affection and love for each other that last all day long. What a great thing to do. There's all kinds of things you can do to cultivate your walk with God and your marriage. If you want to cultivate both your walk with God and your marriage at the same time, you need to go find that other Fortis podcast called Thrive by Brad Bigney. He does such a great job of applying the Word of God to the issues we face as husbands and wives, which is so critical. And Brad is so wise, and he's a lot of fun to listen to. Why is it that we can come into God's very presence? Well, obviously, it's the work of Jesus. And when you think about that wonderful word in Hebrews, starting in verse 14 of chapter 4, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just praise God for that. That's a wonderful reality. You can have access to holy God, the Holy One of Israel. You can go into that God's presence and bring your burdens, bring your petitions to him. You can, as the author of Hebrews says, draw near to him. You know, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he also said something about drawing near to the Lord. In James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there's a little bit of a repentance element going there as well. But specifically, there's a promise there that when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You've heard the saying, if I feel far from God, who is it that moved? It's not God who moved, it's me, it's my sin. And you need to grab onto the promises of God that it's okay. God's got you. He cares for you, and you have access. You remind yourself that Jesus suffered and died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. I'm trusting in him. I don't have access because I'm so great. I have access because he's so great, and he allows me into his very presence. Grab on to the promises of God. Think about the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. So praise God. It's wonderful. He wants you to come talk to him. He wants you to spend time with him in prayer. This is not a mystery. There are other wonderful words of promise that you can grab onto as you go into God's throne room, cultivating your heart for God, expressing your love for him, as well as growing in your love for him. Think about this wonderful word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares. He wants you to come. He bids you to come. And he gets where you're coming from. He knows you've got a heart of worry. And he knows what the world is like. And he says, come, tell me about it. Talk to me. Talk to me. I heard a great quote the other day from H.B. Charles that says, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Isn't that good? And that's what he tells us to do. 1 Peter 5:7. Come on, let's talk. Let's have time together. Let's have your soul invigorated and inspired. Well, one of the ways we cultivate our love for God in our prayer time is to ask God to give us more love for him. Reminds you of that great hymn, isn't it? More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. This is my earnest plea. You know, is it okay to pray that I would love Jesus more? Absolutely. That's a great prayer. That's a prayer according to the will of God. So you know it's going to be heard. And you know that God loves to answer prayers like that. So by all means, pray prayers like that, that you would love God more, that you would love Jesus more. Say, but I'm worried about my hypocritical tendencies. Am I that empty shell of a person? Or am I coming into his presence with a heart of joy and fear and awe, respect and reverence? Am I coming with the right kind of love? I don't feel this, the feels. I don't feel the sentimentalism. And so I'm afraid I might be a hypocrite. Well, what if you come into God's presence and ask that God would backfill your heart with all the love you need to be pleasing to him? Remember, this is the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we absolutely better come into God's presence, and we better come with a heart of love. But it's perfectly appropriate in this fallen world, God is mindful that we are but dust, that we would pray that there would be more love poured out to the Lord in every way. Let's go to Psalm 119. We think of that as the great Bible psalm. Each verse, almost every single one, has some reference to God's word. But have you ever thought about the fact that it is one giant prayer? It's a prayer related to the Bible, related to the word, related to God's revelation of himself. And sprinkled all through that prayer are expressions of love for the Lord, but also requests for more love and a revived heart. Now, my Christian life, I switched to the New American Standard Version of the Bible, and I used that in my early days and all through seminary, and even in my early preaching here at Faith Bible Church. But I switched in about 2001 when the English Standard Version of the Bible came out. I found it to be a little bit more readable. The flow was a little bit nicer for me than the New American Standard. I love the New American Standard, and now the new Legacy Standard Bible, which is kind of an update of the NAS. But I'm still sticking with the ESV. And so in the ESV, one of the Hebrew words is translated, give me life. But I do love how the NAS puts it, as he translates that. They translated that as revive me, revive me. So it was kind of like a prayer for revival. And it keeps coming up in Psalm 119. And I think there's a direct application to our love for God. Listen to verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Revive me according to your word. Verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Revive me. Verse 88. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Are you having trouble obeying God, doing what you know is right? Pray that God would revive your heart, that you would obey. He says in verse 107, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Psalm 119, 149, hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. Verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me, give me life according to your promise. 156, great is your mercy, O Lord, give me life according to your rules. And 159, consider how I love your precepts, give me life according to your steadfast love. Oh, wow. So important to pray. Prayer is the way we express our love for the Lord, but prayer is a way we get more love. Part of it is by asking for more love. Let me just say a word to you if you're stuck at home and you feel like your Christian life is kind of worthless. Why does God still have me here? Why doesn't he just take me to heaven? Some people's wonderful ministry is to pray, and that counts. It counts. We express love for God in our prayers. We, of course, are lifting up our brothers and sisters in need, and God loves those prayers, uses those prayers. So you be faithful as long as God gives you breath to keep on praying those prayers so that we can be men and women that love the Lord our God with everything we've got. Don't just hear God's word, but go and do it.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreintz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreintz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.